Amen. Great job. Always enjoy the Patch Club when they come in to sing. Amen. What a blessing getting our children to learn how to sing and enjoy singing unto the Lord while they're young. And you can't wait till they get older and their voices are changing and all this, that, and the other. You got to do it when they're young. Amen. They're ready to sing when they get older. Well, I want to share a message tonight out of James chapter 4. And it's just entitled Serious About Ministry. In James chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 12, and we have a lot coming up in just the next few weeks and months. We have teens going to camp in July, and then we have a VBS, a Vacation Bible School in July. We have meetings right now where we're getting prepared for the Vacation Bible School, and we have the closing of our school and graduation and all this. There's all kinds of opportunities to do ministry and reaching out to others and trying to be a help to them. And we need to be serious about the opportunities God gives us to minister. I had over the years, I've had people say to me, "You're just too intense." We have to be intense. Amen. We need to be serious about the opportunities God gives us to be a help to others. And we want to reach out to those that are in need. So serious about ministry. James chapter 4 in verse 12. "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together tonight. We have enjoyed singing songs of praise and certainly have enjoyed others who have sang as a testimony of the grace of God and the character of our God. And Lord, we're just thankful now that we can open up the Bible and take some time and examine it and look at it, Lord, and understand really the energy we ought to have in reaching out to be a help to others. And Lord, I pray that each of us might be sensitive to the will of God, the call of God upon our life. I would pray, Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, they might realize the seriousness of the condition that they're in without Christ. And Lord, that they might come and receive Christ as their Savior. So I ask for the Holy Spirit power to be upon me. May the Holy Spirit speak through me. And Lord, may we have the Word of God ministered to our hearts in a special way tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, verse 13 is our text verse. It says, "Go to now that ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." He's saying here, you better think about what it is that you're planning on doing. And then he starts to explain why you need to focus on having a serious commitment, resolve to reach out and be a help and an encouragement to others, and especially in this matter of doing ministry. They say that the life expectancy in America in 2015 was 78.7 years old. And if you look at that, you can say, well, wait a minute, 78 is man, that's getting up there, especially if you're young, you think 78 is getting old. But I find that I just turned 66 and 78 is rapidly approaching me. And I think it's a whole lot younger than what we want to think it is. Amen. And I often thought about preaching a message, living on borrowed time. And the reality is every one of us have gotten older. You're older than what you were last year, that's for sure. You're older than what you were yesterday. Matter of fact, some of you aged this afternoon. So we ought to be serious about our life and our ministry. Ministry is a principle that's established by the very life of Christ. His whole life was focused on ministering to others. And he said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. And so life ought to be about ministry. And whether it's in an organized situation or whether it's within the church or whether it's under the guidelines of someone else or whether it's just on a one-on-one individual basis ministering to others, that is the life of the Christian, of being serious about ministry. Matthew chapter 28 in verse 28, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 20 in verse 28, it just says there, it says, even as Jesus, and I put this a verse up so you can follow along, says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to have his life, I'm sorry, and to give his life a ransom for many. So I highlighted and put in bold those two words. The life of Christ can be summed up that he ministered by being a ransom. And when we think about ministry, we think about being a help to others, it involves those two words, minister and also to ransom. Minister just simply means to be a servant, attendant, to serve, to wait upon. And so when we talk about being a minister, oftentimes people say, well, I feel God's called me into ministry. I'm going to be a minister of the gospel. You understand what that means? That means you serve everybody else. That's all it means, is you're reaching out to be a help to others. And so Jesus came not to be ministered to. He didn't come for others to attend to him or others to serve him or to wait upon him. He came to serve others. But also in that verse, it says that he was to be a ransom. The word ransom means the price for redeeming, to liberate many from misery. And so when we think about being serious about ministry, it involves those two words. We are reaching out and giving attention to and waiting upon others. But when we do that, we do it knowing that it is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of our time. Many times it's a sacrifice of our money. Many times it's a sacrifice of our talents and abilities that God gives us. But God has called us to be serious about living a life of ministry. And so when you think of ministry, minister and ransom put together, you can sum up a definition for ministry of life in this. Ministry is a life that is invested into others so as to bring change and victory. That's what ministry is all about. It's investing our lives into other people's lives so that they may be able to experience a change in their life, that God might give them victory in the areas where they're in bondage, whether it's through sin or whether it's through social means or whatever it may be. God has called us to minister so that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He has called us to minister so that when someone trusts Christ their Savior, now they live a life of victory rather than a life of defeat. And so we ought to be serious about that thing. If God has so called us and directed us to minister, we're not to go around and say, well, maybe tomorrow, or maybe next week, or maybe I'll get involved sometime later. No, that's not how we approach life, because of the fact we approach life in reality of who we are and where we are and what opportunities God has given us. And so notice, first of all, we're serious about ministry because we're motivated by the brevity of life. In verse 14, he says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, little time, and then vanishes away. And so we're motivated by the brevity of life. I remember when I got saved, I was 27 years old, and I felt God call me to preach about 3 months after I got saved. I went to Bible college when I was 28, and when I graduated from Bible college, I was 32 years old, and when I graduated, I had a couple of colleges that were offering seminaries, wanted me to come and work on my master's degree, and my thought process at that 32 years old was, hey, I'm getting old, I'm running out of time, I got to get into ministry. And I just left Bible college, we packed up, I bought a bus, I loaded the bus up with my furniture, and we took off and left Michigan and headed back to New Jersey to start a church. The intention was, I don't have any time to waste. And oftentimes what we do when we talk about ministry, we think, well, maybe when I get older. Then we get older and we say, well, if I was younger. You know, we always have these stages in our life where we're always excusing the opportunities to be fulfilled to minister to people, when this is a serious matter, because we, nor do anyone else, know whether they have tomorrow or not. And so the brevity of life moves us and motivates us to reach out and launch out to minister to others. Why? The brevity of life is the reality of death. You realize the statistics is this, is one in one die? Think about it for a minute. It's not sinking in too quick here. One in one die. The only people who haven't died was Enoch and Elijah. That was it. The only ones that didn't die. There's two witnesses that are going to die during the tribulation period. I think it's Enoch and it's also, who did I say, Elijah. Amen. I believe it's those two because of the fact it's appointed on the man but wants to die. They haven't died yet, so I believe they're going to be the witnesses. That's another whole sermon. But anyway, every person has to face the reality of death. And it was initiated by Adam. God told Adam, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And certainly Paul identifies the problem in mankind is that we have to face death because of Adam's sin that is passed down to us. In Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so the reality of death is Adam initiated this thing. Thanks a lot, Adam. I appreciate that. But because of that, the reality of that, I don't know if I have tomorrow. And if I don't know that I have tomorrow, then I need to get serious about my life as ministering the word of God to others. So the reality of death, the finality of death. And it has literally infected the lost. And we know in Revelation chapter 20, it says, in death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death. And man has been condemned to hell because of the fact of his sin that he has been born in because of Adam and Eve sinning and passing it down through the generations. And so man needs to be delivered from that infection, if you will, of sin that condemns him to hell. And who has the answer for that? The Christian has the answer for that. And so why would we jeopardize someone's eternal state by refusing to get serious about ministering to that individual? And it's always a challenge with young people because young people think they're never going to die. But the reality is young people die just as quick as old people die. And I remember I was in high school. I used to do drag racing on the back streets. And that I don't think you should do that. That's breaking the law, amen. But I'm confessing my sins. Confess your faults one towards another, amen. So don't hold guilt against me. But anyway, we used to do a lot of drag racing on the back streets. And a buddy of mine who's 17 years old, there was a couple cars racing. I wasn't racing at the time. And they were going down in the quarter mile. And he was at the end of the line, and he's looking to see who won the race, and one of the cars hit him right in the head. Killed him instantly. Instantly. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. He was not thinking he was going to die at that moment. The farthest thing from his mind was, today I'm going to have to stand in the presence of God. So young people die just as quickly as old people die. And so there ought to be a seriousness in the Christian's life about this thing about ministering. Because if a person dies without Christ in their life, they're lost. They're condemned to hell forever. And so I want to be serious about this. But also there's victory over death. There's victory over death. I'm motivated by the brevity of life, and so death does come upon us unexpectedly, but we can have victory over it. So that means I need to be invested. It's the victory that we have is invested by the saved. In other words, you have the answer, and you can tell someone what is the answer or the opportunity to be able to have victory over death. You need not fear death and the torments of hell, if you trust Christ as your Savior. James chapter 5 and verse 20, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And so ministry is nothing more than us investing our lives in others that they might be able to escape the torments of hell because they have victory over that because they trust Christ as their Savior. 1 John 5, 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And so you say, why should I be serious about life and serious about ministering the word of God to others? Because of the brevity of life. We just absolutely do not know if we have tomorrow or not. And so we're motivated by the brevity of life. Number two is in our text verse in verse 15. It is directed by the will of God. In other words, it is God's will that men be delivered and be saved. And so if it's God's will that men be delivered and saved, then that means he has a will for us. And that's why verse 15 says, "For that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." And so we have to be connected with the will of God in ministering to others. If Jesus has given us a command and he's given us an example to follow in doing ministry, then certainly we ought to strive to fulfill those opportunities to be able to bring others to Christ. There's a joy in ministry. Joy in ministry. In Psalm 40 and verse 8, if I can get over there real quick, I'll read that verse for you. Psalm 40 and verse 8, joy in ministry. Oftentimes, we present life of ministry as being boring, as being burdensome, as something that man, if you can escape it, then escape from it, because that'll tear your life up. You won't enjoy life if you get involved in ministering to others. But Psalm 40, oh my goodness, I'm in Psalm 80. I better get over it. Man, I'm a long ways off. Psalm 40 in verse 8, Psalm 40 in verse 8 says, "I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart." And I think we need to show forth a joy or an excitement about doing ministry. I think I was talking with Nick. Where did Nick go? I don't know where he's at. Where is he at? All right, he changed his tie, and so I couldn't recognize him. But anyway, we were talking before church. He was telling me that when he was a teenager, during vacation Bible school, I asked him to be a helper with me. I don't remember that. I think he set me up. I don't know. Anyway, but he told me, he said, you asked me to be a helper. And he said, "Pastor, you don't understand. You don't know how much that meant to me." I thought it was really cool being a helper with the pastor teaching VBS. And listen, look where God has directed his life from that point on. And we need to enjoy the ministry. Ministry is not a burden. It is not a dead end to our life. It is an opportunity that we experience over and over and over again to be able to help others, and it's directed by the very will of God. I like what John Piper said. He said, "One of the most important discoveries I have ever made is this truth. God is most glorified in me when I am most satisfied in him. This is the motor that drives my ministry as a pastor. It affects everything I do." You know, turn the joy button on, amen? Stop being sour. Stop griping and complaining. Stop condemning everybody. Stop thinking everything is wrong and everybody doesn't care. Why don't you put some joy in your heart? Why don't you allow the presence of Christ to pump you up and get you thrilled? And why don't you get some energy and some intensity about this thing of doing ministry? Because there's no greater thing that we can do than to live within the will of God Almighty. So there's the joy of ministry. There's the practice of ministry. Just going to give you some nuts and bolts right now. 1 Corinthians, you can turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and here are all the opportunities that God gives us to practice ministry. Everyone has different talents. Some people cannot sing, and hallelujah, they're not in the choir, amen? Some people can preach, some people can't preach. Some people are good organizers. God knows all of that, and that's why he put us all in the body of Christ, so that we might have an opportunity to practice the ministry that God gives us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 4, he says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Let's be reminded of this. The talents and the gifts that God gives us to be able to minister to others may be different, but it's the same God who gave them to us. They may be different, but it's the same Holy Spirit that empowers us and enables us to do that ministry. Every part of ministry in the church is an opportunity to glorify our God, but it is equal in its necessity to be able to be fulfilled. And so notice he goes on, he says, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now that word administrations just means ability to organize. You know, Dr. Shoemaker always used to say, I don't know anybody who is more well organized than Dr. Shoemaker. And Dr. Shoemaker always used to say, organize or agonize. And there's many people agonize in ministry because they just don't get their act together in organizing. And some people have that talent, have that gift, have that ability to be well organized. And so Dr. Shoemaker has helped over the years, helped me over the years in trying to plan and organize things. And there are gifts and talents that can be developed and can be honed in to become better. But there are some people just are gifted in this area. He says here also, not only administrations, he says, and there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh in all. So the word operations there means the ability to accomplish the task. There's a lot of starters. I've found this in life. There's a lot of people who are good starters, but very few finishers. And a lot of people come up with a lot of ideas and say, I think this will be great. I think we ought to do that. Well, amen, go for it, run with it. And they start and it fizzles out. And so there are those that have the ability to organize. There are those who have the ability to say, okay, you came up with the idea, we're putting it in action, and I'll see it through and I'll accomplish it. Notice wisdom. He goes on to say, there is wisdom where am I at here? And he says, the diversities of operation was the same God which worketh all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And the word wisdom there just means to be knowledgeable in diverse matters. Wisdom is really being able to take information and put it into action. Wisdom is being able to take knowledge and apply it in a practical way in your life. So wisdom, he says to another word, the word of knowledge. The word knowledge there means just general intelligence. God helps you to understand what the necessity is for the job that you're doing. You need to trust God. It's one thing to get an education, to go to college, whatever, go to seminars, and I like going to leadership seminars and all these things. It helps me to take the general knowledge that I have and comprehend how to put it into action. And the Spirit of God is the one that sorts all that out for us. Notice he talks here, a word of knowledge to another, faith by the same Spirit. The word faith means conviction of truth. May I say this? It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that strengthens us in what we believe. And we're living in an era and time where people want to believe anything and everything. And the problem is this. There is only one faith that is true faith. And we need to have a conviction about that. He says here to another, healing by the same Spirit. Healing is just believing God can heal. God can heal. I've had people, I have charismatics every time. Well, you Baptists don't believe in healing, supernatural. Yes, I do. I've seen God heal miraculously. But I don't believe in divine healers. And I don't believe that you have to have a healing service. And you got to generate a lot of money out of people to get God healing. I believe you can pray and believe God and God can heal. Working of miracles. That just simply means the releasing of the power of God to do something that man can't do. And I know this, God, our God is a God of miracles. This church is a miracle. It is a miracle. This church is going to be 38 years old in November. I already have Dr. Shoemaker lined up to come in 2020 because that'll be the 40th anniversary of the church. But I'm going to tell you the struggles and difficulties and things that this church has gone through over the 40 years that's been in existence. This church is a miracle church. And I don't think many people understand the miracles that God has done in people's lives through the ministry of Ocean County Baptist Church. I believe in a God of miracles. Notice also he says to another working miracles, to another prophecy. The word prophecy means proclaiming the future based on the word of God. It's not somebody saying, oh, I had a vision last night and I was out of my body and God showed me this, that, and the other, and I'm prophesying to you, brother. No. You open up the word of God and God shows us what prophecy, what the future holds, and we proclaim that to others. That's what the spirit of prophecy is. Notice he says here, another discerning spirits. And distinguishing between that which is spiritual. You know, John said, brethren, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether it be of God. And if there is something that we need as a gift in doing ministry, is to have a discerning spirit. We are living in an era that I never thought we'd be living in as we look at all the stuff that is supposedly quote-unquote spiritual that is violating Scripture. And it is, listen, Christians, it's time for us to do ministry based on the fact that God gives us the ability to discern between what is right and what is wrong and whether the spirit is of God or whether it's of this world. And so discerning spirits. Notice he says tongues. And he says to another, divers kinds of tongues. Now, don't get all hung up on that. It just means different languages. It's Greek word glossia. It means just languages, and it means an audible language that somebody speaks. It does not mean a gibberish and an out-of-control individual that has a spirit come upon them. They don't know what the spirit is, and they're out of control. That is not what that's talking about. It is talking about supernaturally God giving you the ability to speak in a language that someone can hear and understand that you don't know. In other words, it'd be like me going to China. I cannot speak Chinese, but God miraculously would speak through me and I would be speaking in Chinese. That's speaking in tongues. On the day of Pentecost, there were 19 different language people there and they all heard the preaching of the word of God in their own tongue. That was a miraculous thing that took place. It was not a gibberish. Well, I'll get off of that. I'll never get my message done. Tongues, different languages. Then he says the interpretation of tongues and understanding different languages. I remember when I went to Dominican Republic to preach and went down there. Dr. Miller was with me and we went down together to preach in a conference down there. And the night that he was supposed to preach, he got deathly sick. I don't know what he ate, but I thought that man was going to die. I was going to have to do his funeral right there. I mean, he was terrible. And it was about an hour before church was going to start, and he was dying, man. And he came and said, Brother Wagwan, I just can't make it. You're going to have to preach my message tonight. I said, well, give me your notes. I'll preach it. Amen. Nick knows what that is. And I took his notes, and I went over. He said, this is what I mean here, and this is what I wanted. I said, don't worry. God will give me something to say. We'll be all right. And I had never preached through an interpreter. Never. And so the first time I'm preaching through an interpreter, I'm preaching somebody else's message in a country that I've never been to before to people I've never met. And I said, God, you've got to help me. I'm telling you, you've got to help me. And I got up there to preach, and the fellow was interpreting for me. What a sweet, sweet man. Great spirit that rested upon him. I was preaching and I was getting waxing elegant, amen. And I tell you, the message was flowing from God. And I was going on and I preached and I said something and I said, oh, well, I got started stuttering and I stopped and I said, oh, brother, man, I made a mistake. That's not what I mean. He looked, He looked at me, he said, "Brother, I already corrected it. Just keep preaching." Now I'm going to tell you, you got a good interpreter when he can do that. And I'll tell you, that eased my mind. I didn't have time. I didn't have any problem preaching with him interpreting for me the rest of the time that I was there in the Dominican Republic. See, God gifts different people to be able to understand and speak different languages. And he has to do it supernaturally. He can do it supernaturally. But he also gifts people so that the word of God can go out, that he can interpret tongues. And this man interpreted the language I was speaking into another language. So that's literally the practice of ministry. Notice there's the program of ministry. I don't want to get weighed down on these two things too much, but this matter of being serious about ministry, we need to comprehend these things. Look at Romans chapter 12. It involves several things when you talk about doing ministry and reaching out to others. You say, why are you preaching this thing tonight? Because of the fact you need to get involved in ministry. That's why. And you need to understand how serious we are about ministry in this place. Whether it's ministry in the nursing homes, we hear reports from people getting saved in the nursing homes, out on soul winning. All these things are opportunities for us to do ministry. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 9, notice the program of ministry does involve purity. In verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, no division. He said, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. So ministry literally is holding on to that which is pure. We don't want to be at odds at one another. We don't want to be divided between each other. We want to abhor that which is wicked because we're hanging on to that which is good. There are always problems. There is always things that are wrong. But don't hang on to the things that are wrong. Hold on to the things that are right. Purity in ministry. Notice in verse 10 of Romans 12, honor and be kindly affectionate one towards another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. You know what that means? You put yourself second. Ministry is honoring and preferring. The word preferring is to put someone in front of yourself. I'm afraid far too many people just think life is about you, and it's not about you. It's about Christ. And it's about me ministering Christ to others. And for me to minister Christ to others, I have to be a servant, which means I elevate others, I exalt others, I prefer others over myself. So honor. Notice diligent in verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And may I just say this, ministry in the church shouldn't be at the bottom rung of the ladder. It ought to be at the top rung. We need not to be slothful in doing our ministry. We need to be focused on doing our very best and setting a priority to accomplish that, to reach others. Steadfast, in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. That's just being steadfast. Keep doing the things that we're supposed to do. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't walk away from it. Be steadfast. Hospitable, in verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. And once again, the will of God is you putting someone else first, making sure their needs are met so that you can minister to them. Verse 14, blessing. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Oh, my, I don't want to do that one. Let's skip over that verse. You sure that's in the Bible? Yeah, bless them which persecute you. Yeah, well, I'm not going to do ministry anymore. You know why? So-and-so got mad at me. Well, next week someone else will be mad at you. So get over it. Amen. We're to do ministry. There's an urgency. There's a seriousness about doing ministry. And listen, if we would bless those who persecute us, maybe you could win them over to the Lord so they would stop cursing you and start blessing you and blessing the name of Christ. The choir is saying, we bless your name. We need to bring people in a position of blessing the name of Christ because of the fact they see we are different. When Christ was reviled, he reviled not again. And you don't always have to get your way, and you don't always have to have your say. So when people persecute you, be a blessing to them. Notice not only that, but identity in verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. In other words, identify with the person you're ministering to. There are people that are hurting. So listen, you hurt with them. You know, there are people that are going through a positive thing in their life and they're happy and they're rejoicing. Don't be the downer on them. Amen. Somebody's all excited. God saved my relative, and I'll tell you, I can't believe God's moving in a great way. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll see if they're saved or not. We'll see 22 years from now if they're still walking with God. You know, they just probably prayed a prayer. You know what that person is thinking? I'm never going to lead another person to Christ, and if I do, I ain't telling anybody about it. Identify with the individual. To do ministry, you must identify with them. Jesus Christ came to minister, and what did he do? He identified with the human race. He took the form of a man, and he came and he ministered. He identified with our sorrows. He was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Let's identify with those that we're going to minister to. There's unity in verse 16. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And so, yes, there ought to be unity within the body of Christ, because you can't do ministry if you're at odds with one another. Get over your differences. Get over your opposition to things. Get over your personality conflicts and get it under the blood of Christ. And we need to be serious about ministry. So we've seen that we're motivated by the brevity of life in James 4:14. We are directed by the will of God in James chapter 4, verse 15. But verse 16 and 17 of James 4, we're committed to doing right. That's all there is to it. You just want to do what's right. And notice in James chapter 4, in verse 16, but now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. So don't say, oh man, I'll tell you what, I'm involved in ministry. I'm trying to help so-and-so. I've done this and I've done that. And start boasting about all the things you've done. Let God knows what you've done and what you haven't done. And James says, when you start boasting about yourself, that's evil. Then he says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. So it's showing me that I need to be committed to doing what is right. Notice there is a clear obligation that God gives us in this matter of doing ministry or doing what is right. In Luke chapter 12, in verse 47, Jesus said, "In that servant which knew his Lord's will." See, we just dealt with the will of God. That servant which knew the will, his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But that he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to him to whom men have committed much, of him they ask the more. Clear obligation that God has given us to reach out and just simply do what is right. There is a conscious jubilation. In other words, we are aware of the fact that we can rejoice in the opportunities that God gives us to minister to others. John chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, "And after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down, he said unto them, Know ye not what I've done to you, and ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. And if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." A conscious jubilation of rejoicing. In verse 17, he says, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." And I've just noticed over the years that believers who are dedicated and committed to ministering to others are happier than those who won't do anything. And you want real joy? There's joy in serving Jesus. And so you minister to others because there is an effect that happens to you. There is rejoicing there. I've never gotten over the fact of seeing somebody bow their head and trust Christ as their Savior. I've never gotten over it. It gives me such joy and excitement. I've never gotten over the fact when somebody comes to me and they lead somebody to the Lord the first time and they come, they're all excited about it. I'll tell you one thing, there is a conscious excitement or jubilation that takes place just by doing ministry, doing what is right. Then there is a continual affirmation. In other words, in John chapter 15 and verse 22, Christ affirming his will in our life. In John chapter 15 and verse 22 says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not, and they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sins. And then he says in verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not hid sin, but now they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, and which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Christ just constantly affirmed the fact that they needed to do what was right because he had come from the Father and he was with them. He abided with them, and they were able to fulfill God's will because of his presence in their life. So, serious about ministry. And so James tells us here that we ought to realize we need to be motivated by the brevity of life. There are people dying every day without Christ as their Savior. And what can you do? What can you minister to them to help them to know how to be saved? Most wicked person in the world, I cannot bring my heart to say I wish they go to hell. And if you understand what hell's all about, you get serious about ministry. We understand directing the will of God in our life, and it's just simply acknowledging and surrender to God's call. Now, some of you young people, I believe God has a call upon your life that he wants you in full-time ministry. He wants you to surrender, whether it be a missionary, a Christian school teacher, whatever it is. God may want you to do something on a full-time basis, or God may want you to, I definitely know that God wants every one of us to be connected with his will in reaching out and ministering to others in the church. So we need to be serious about that. And then committed to do right. It's always right to do right. There is never a time when it's right to ignore our God-given obligations. And so I cannot just say, well, I'm going to sit back and take my ease in Zion. No, God's given me a mandate to fulfill. He's given all of us a mandate to fulfill. And so we need to get serious about this thing of ministry. You say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't understand what the talent is that God has given me. How do I find that out? I'll tell you how. Just start doing something. Come see Pastor DeWanna. Come see Pastor Pierre Vicente. Come see myself and say, I need to get involved. I need to do something. I really feel God wants me to minister. We'll show you some areas where you can minister. The most simple thing that you can do is just start carrying tracts and start talking to people about Christ. Just reach out to them, give them a track, and talk to them about the Lord. And it's amazing the doors that God will open if you just make yourself focused and mindful of the fact that God has something for me to do. And he has something for every one of us to do. And so let's be serious about ministry. You say, what does that mean? It just means this. I'm going to do all that I can to be a help to someone else, that they might find out who Jesus Christ is, and they might be able to discern what God's will is for their life. That's simple. It's just simple. And we do it in multitudes of ways. Seriousness about ministry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the great grace of God. Lord, none of us could proclaim that we're saved and going to heaven if it wasn't for your grace. Lord, I'm just thankful for many, many years that you've given me in my life, Lord, to be able to see people get serious about their life, about Christ, about ministry. And Lord, you give them abilities that they didn't even know they had. and because they surrender it all to you. And so, Lord, I pray for every one of us tonight, Lord, you would help us to continue to have a sense of urgency and a sense of move of God on us, and that we might see people who are by the wayside, Lord. They need somebody to reach out to them. They need someone to be a help. Let us, Lord, be that one that can help. Let us, Lord, take the good news of Jesus Christ to them. Lord, allow us to continue to reach out to others, Lord, that they might find value and worth in their life because God has entered into it. And I pray, Lord, tonight, if there's someone here that's not saved, God, you're not willing that they perish. Holy Spirit of God, will you bring conviction on them? Will you draw them to the altar tonight that they might be saved? And we'll praise you, Lord. We'll bless your name. We'll lift up the name of Christ all the days of our life. And we love you and praise you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.